Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with a professor at Northwestern University who's written a new book. It's called The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain. The author of this book is Dario Fernandez Morera, and he notes in the flyleaf of the book that President Obama said, "Islam has a proud tradition of tolerance. We see it in the history of Andalusia." To discuss this is Professor Dario Fernandez Morera. And Professor, thank you for joining us. Appreciate this. This looks like a very important book. I just received it today, and I look forward to getting into it. But explain to us about this issue, and I guess you disagree with the president on this particular point.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for inviting me to your program.
Sure.
Regarding those statements by the president, of course, they don't refer to the fact of the matter, as we have learned from the documents, the existing contemporary documents, and even from the archaeological evidence. So it's untrue.
Okay, first of all, what does Andalusia mean? What is that referring to?
Andalusia is a shorthand for Al-Andalus, which was the name given by Muslims to the area of Spain that they controlled for most of the centuries of Islamic domination in Spain. It would include not only Andalusia in Spain right now, but also other regions to the west and the north. So that was Al-Andalus, and it's a name that is still used by scholars to refer to the land. Also, we can say Islamic Spain or Al-Andalus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
Right, and according to common myths, science and technology flourished there. Cultural expression was sophisticated and largely secular. Religious pluralism was written into Islamic law. Everybody got along fine. The Jews were treated fine. So were the Christians. And this was all under Islamic rule. What actually happened?
Well, none of that is true, again, based on the documentation and the archaeological evidence. So we could start from any place you want. For example, the situation of the Christians and the Jews under Islamic rule. Once Islam conquered the land, those Christians that accepted to remain there and who did not oppose the regime were placed in a condition of submission. They were in a subaltern condition, which meant they were under all sorts of restrictions, including having to pay a tax to be protected, which was, of course, a system of extortion, paid to be protected or else. And there were all sorts of limitations in the way they could continue to practice Christianity. They had to practice it only within their own churches. The ritual had to be no public displays of Christianity were accepted. The churches on the outside could have no crosses visible, which would be offensive to Muslims. And the Christian buildings could not be of the same height or higher than Muslim buildings or more splendid than Muslim buildings. No bells could be rung. So there were all sorts of limitations placed upon the Christians under such circumstances, and they were called actually dhimmis, or protected people. But again, it was an extortion system rather than a protection.
How about the Jews? How did the Jews fare? How
about
the Jews?
The Jews were in the same situation. Same limitations that I have just mentioned with regard to the Christians applied to the Jews. However, when the Muslims entered Spain, the majority of the population was Christian. And there was a Jewish minority which had been oppressed by the majority Christian population. So Muslims found it advantageous to prop up the Jewish community as a counterbalance and as a help in their process of domination of the Christian community. That's how the Jewish community began to flourish. But it had nothing to do with Muslim tolerance. It was simply to do with having a community that would help the Muslim community control the Christians. And this happens in any conquest. It was not just in Spain. When Cortes attacked the Aztec or Mexica Empire, he allied himself with Indian nations that had been oppressed by the Mexica and who gladly joined Cortes in the attacks against the Mexica Empire. And we do that, you know, when we invaded Iraq, we allied ourselves with the Shiite minority. So that happens everywhere. So that's what led to the better conditions for Jews under Islam than under Christianity. But even those conditions were subject to the whims of the ruler du jour. So it was a very precarious kind of situation the Jewish community had. And eventually that ended. You know, they were persecuted, expelled, and so forth. And many of them actually fled to the northern Christian kingdoms. So there you have it.
Yeah, right now we're talking with Dr. Dario Fernandez Morera, author of a book called The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise. Is there a website for the book?
You can find it on the website of ISI Books, Intercollegiate Studies Institute book. And, of course, you can go to Amazon, and there is a very good display there with the cover and comments by other scholars and so forth. So just go to Amazon and type the title, The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise.
Okay, now what is the origin of this book? In other words, what was the need that you saw in your own particular studies, in your own particular journey in life that you thought, oh, man, I need to write a book about this, or somebody needs to.
Right.
Tell us about that.
I was researching the connections between Cervantes, Miguel de Cervantes Saavedra, and Islam, because in the Quixote he makes repeated references to Islam, and many of his characters had to do with Muslims, and Don Quixote wants to fight the Muslim pirates in North Africa, and Sancho has Morisco friends. So I began to research the situation of Islam in Spain.
Okay, wait, just to put this in context, you at Northwestern, you are teaching Spanish and then also Portuguese, Northwestern being a very respected university in Evanston, Illinois, which, by the way, is the town I was born in. And so you know a lot, then, about Don Quixote and Cervantes, and that was, but you wanted to know more about these background described in that novel. Go on, sir.
Right. So I investigated then the Muslim situation in Spain from the beginning, and then I found that a lot of what had been written about it did not accord with what the sources I was looking at were telling us. And those sources I was checking were medieval Muslim chronicles as well as Christian medieval chronicles and also archaeological evidence. And none of that supported this view of the tolerant paradise of Islamic Spain. So that's what led to my to my research on the subject. I mean, I've been researching cultural matters for a long time. That's part of my work at as a researcher at Northwestern. You know, I have researched Golden Age culture. I have written about Latin American culture, all sorts of cultural matters. So I consider myself a worker of cultural subjects. And the culture of medieval Islamic Spain was quite different from what we have been led to believe.
Well, where does that myth come from, the myth of the Andalusian paradise, if you will?
It comes from many sources. I suppose it might have begun with the Enlightenment, the European Enlightenment, and its profound dislike of Catholic Spain and its Inquisition. And so they found it advantageous to start talking about how different it was when Spain was not dominated by Catholics, but by Muslims. Look how much better everybody was under that. So that was part of the origin of it. These days, it's more complicated than that. I think it has a lot to do with professional interest. I mean, if I'm a professor of Islamic studies, I'm going to try to write and teach about whatever wonderful things I can find about my subject, rather than find out the horrors, which has been the opposite with Christian Europe. I mean, the bibliography on the horrors perpetrated by Christians is interminable, but you don't find much of that. In fact, you find nothing of the sort regarding Islamic Spain. So that's what led me to the research for this book.
And your research,
of course, there are other factors. If I may add this,
sure.
There is also the interest today in multicultural and diversity, and so it is advantageous for me, for example, if I'm pushing for the wonderful results of multiculturalism, to point out that once upon a time there was a culture in the past that actually had three cultures living together in basically, good terms. So if it was done then, it can be done now. So there is also that political interest.
Yeah, and the political correctness, to be frank with you. And yet you found the facts showed terror tactics used by the Muslim conquerors, including beheadings and crucifixions of captives, taking of sex slaves, the destruction of churches, familiar from today's Islamic State. I'm reading, actually, from the press release about your book. You also found that the splendor of the Spanish Christian society, modern historians dismiss as barbaric, and yet how the Muslim conquest nipped it in the bud, and why the oft-repeated assertion that Islam preserved classical knowledge and then passed it on to Europe is baseless. And then also, tens of thousands of female sex slaves enjoyed by the Muslim ruling elite during that very time of the so-called Andalusian paradise.
Oh, yeah. Actually, the culture of the Christians in medieval Spain before the arrival of the Muslim invaders was far superior to that of the North African Berbers and Arabs who entered. It was had a very high degree of culture. And now regarding the situation of women, I think in the book you will find that I explore the practice of a female circumcision, for example. Oh. All the legal manuals point out that female circumcision is very honorable. And there is really no denying it. It was a practice, as was the stoning of the unfaithful wife. Again, the legal manuals point out that if the free Muslim woman wife is found to have committed adultery, she is to be stoned. You don't find any of that in the histories of Al-Andalus or Islamic Spain.
Have you gotten any pushback on this book? I mean, in other words, are people...
Not yet. It's just out.
Oh, okay. Well,
but it will come.
Yeah, unfortunately, it will come, because what you're saying is very politically incorrect.
I mean, also, it would be professional survival. I mean, if I'm a professor of Islamic studies, I've been making a living out of writing about all these wonderful things.
Yeah.
And here comes this guy and saying basically that I have been either lying or not doing my research correctly. So they are going to try to find, where in the heck I made a mistake here and there, which I'm sure I did. I covered a lot of ground to try to discredit the book. But that's understandable. There are researchers who have pointed out another factor that I didn't mention earlier, which contributes to this myth, and that is the impact that money from Islamic nations has had on Islamic studies in Western universities.
Oh.
I mean, they have donated huge amounts of money, especially to the more prestigious universities, Harvard, Oxford, Yale. They have donated enormous amounts for Islamic studies, and of course that compromises the type of research that is going to be conducted there. It's going to be very different from the type of research that is done on Christianity, for example.
Well, let me just say this. I know you teach at Northwestern University, but the views and opinions expressed by Dr. Dario Fernandez Morera related to this book are his own as opposed to Northwestern University's. The name of the book is The Myth of the Andalusian Paradise, Muslims, Christians, and Jews Under Islamic Rule in Medieval Spain. Well, thank you, Dr. Fernandez Morera. Appreciate it so much. Appreciate your time.
Well, and thank you. I'm honored that you invited me to your show. Thank you very much, and you have a good day.
Okay, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye now.